You are listening to the annual Post-Dictions show, plus some predictions included.
Let's just start off, man. Let's go with the...
Okay.
Let's not try to hide bias.
And you've done a lot more research than I have, because you went and listened to all the stuff, and your head's been in it.
So okay, Apple.
That's my... Like how I just hedge right out the gate.
I know. I appreciate it. What's going to happen with Apple in 2014?
Okay. Apple. I literally have not thought about this at all. That's how awesome my vacation has been. So let's see here.
See, this is about all I've thought about, which is how awesome my vacation has been.
So let's see here. They're going to come out with a new iPhone. It's going to be the iPhone 6.
Okay.
And it's
new
going
hardware design.
To, I think so. I don't know in what way, but I think it'll have a new hardware design. It won't be plastic. Well, it will.
One of them is plastic, and one is not.
Yeah. What's going to be the thing that they add to it to make me want to buy it? You know, they did the thumbprint thing, which I thought was cool. They did what I actually think is cooler is that M chip, the motion chip.
They did the way improved camera with the bigger picture
glass. Yeah. But what are they going to do?
Don't forget about the A7 processor, 64-bit architecture.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm just trying to think, could they do a bigger screen? I know there's always rumors of that floating around. I could see them doing that. I don't know if they would, if it would make sense. I'm just trying to think like what else could you add to it other than, you'll love this, some awesome way of communicating to an iWatch that only it can do, similar like Siri. You know, they're like, oh, requires the A8, and therefore, you know, to process, to run both the watch and the phone, and therefore...
No way. No.
You don't think so? You don't think so?
No.
Okay. You think they'll just use Bluetooth and call it good?
Yeah. The watch will be reverse compatible, which, you know, let's start there. Let's bring that into the conversation here.
Fair enough.
There's going to be a watch. Without question this year. There won't be a TV. I'm coming back around on the TV thing. I liked the rationale last time. I think there's a chance that Apple will come out with a 4K cinema display.
Yeah.
I don't know the context for that, but it makes a lot of sense in that.
Now they've got a computer to run it.
Like I say, but that's the big thing. The Mac Pro, which we completely missed, is clearly a design for 4K, and I mean that is the entirety of the intention. That was the major thing that they wanted to do. Something that could handle real time 4K editing for multiple monitors. They want something that can do 4K. Apple thinks 4K is the next big thing in monitor.
I think they'll come
stuff.
Out with a, you know, they obviously don't use the word 4K. They use the word Retina. Do you think they'll come out with a Retina iMac, like a 27-inch Retina iMac?
Yeah.
You know, $1,000 or $2 more than their current line, just like they did with the Pro, which I think.
I don't know if they'll do it this year. But that's definitely coming down. That's a stupid prediction to make. That's unfortunately coming down the pipe.
If you've figured out how to do the 27-inch Retina, you might as well do the standalone monitor for the Pro and I don't know if that makes sense with the Mini, but at least for the Pro. And then you embed that into the iMac line because you're like, see, we already figured this out.
It's funny. They've talked about the fact that the Mac Pros with Retina display can drive 4K displays very easily. There's no reason to think that an iMac couldn't handle it. You know what? I'll bet they do. I'll bet this year they do a 4K iMac.
All right.
or a Retina display iMac. I don't know what they're going to call it. But, yeah, I'll go with that. I'll go with that. That seems to totally make sense with the direction they're going.
Why not, right? I mean, like you said, they're going there. Now it's just a question of can we figure out the technical details and the cost structure to make it happen.
And that's the sort of thing that Apple loves to do because it allowed them to put a really new high ceiling on the iMac and basically raise the price of the iMac without, you know, introducing – that makes sense. That would make sense. I'll go with that.
And they didn't come out with an iMac this year. They did that last year.
Right.
I made them super thin because I got rid of the CD drive.
Right, DVD right. Drive. Yeah, so it'll be 2 years. It'll be at least a year and a half, 2 years for the new refresh. Yep. You know what? Yeah, that's definitely coming. I'm nervous about that. But I feel good about it because it just, I mean.
God,
it just
put totally... stick in the sand, man. I'm saying, well, yeah.
I'm saying yes too, but it's just one of those things where it's like it's such a new revelation that is like clearly one of the big things that they're moving towards. That's what the whole I mean. It's like now all of a sudden the Thunderbolt stuff makes a lot more sense It's the Lightning. One's the Thunderbolt connector and one's the Lightning. Connector.
Lightning's to your device. Thunderbolt is for monitors and
it's what that's such a stupid naming convention.
Dude, I don't know.
I know, but that's so clearly one of the big things that they're doing. It's not even funny. So it's that's where we're going. I could see that.
Think they're doing the iWatch. I can't remember. Do you already say that?
Absolutely.
You said yes.
Absolutely.
What do you think will be like the killer app on that?
It'll look awesome.
Is that it? Do you think it'll be good design, good fashion?
I think it's going to be a beautiful watch that does health tracking and notifications. They're going to keep it really, really, really simple. They're going to keep it just basic, and it's going to work fantastic with the iPhone. It's going to be a seamless integration. And
I would like to be able to give simple replies, even if it's via Siri, backed on text messages or emails.
I do think you'll be able to talk to it, but I'm not sure that they want it to talk to you. It won't do pictures. It won't do, and my big question is, I can't remember who I was talking to, but I said, I think it's going to cost stupid money. And they were like,
wouldn't it be cool if it had like a little Retina camera on the face of it? You know, so it's not for taking pictures. It's Dick Tracy style. Boom. I'll talk to you.
That's what that's what people want. Oh, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to, I think the big thing for them is they're going to do whatever they can to make it last a very long time. The battery life is
battery life primary. With a color touchscreen, right?
Yeah. When I've talked to people who work for Apple who have any knowledge of the program, they've said it's battery life. That's all they care about. That's entirely all they care about.
After Samsung got hammered, I don't blame them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think their goal is the 8-day battery life, so you recharge it the same day every week.
That's why I literally in my to-do list I have a recurring event every Friday: charge my Fitbit and phone.
Yeah,
watch.
Yeah, that's what they want from that, and I think they can achieve it. I was talking with somebody and I said, we were talking about pricing on it, and they said, so do you think it'll be, you know, in the ballpark of what Samsung's charges? No, it's going to be way more expensive. Like,
price again?
Like $300, I think.
Oh yeah. Not
even. And I was like, I could easily see it be $800.
Whoa.
I'm like, are you friggin' kidding me? I was like, well, think about this. How much do they charge for Rolexes? How much do they charge for luxury watches?
Okay. Thousands.
Yeah, thousands. And all Apple would have to do is put up on their screen, we're developing a luxury watch. And you might, for something that looks this beautiful and capable of this much, you could charge. Aluminum,
right? You know there's not going to be any plastic on it.
Yeah, it's going to look. Yeah, I mean, I think it might, you know, I would be astounded if they charged, you know, less than $500 for it. I'd be astounded.
That was where my mental model instantly went, was to $500.
I would be, but if they charged less than $500, I would be really excited. I could see it go as high as $800, though. Just not even, just whatever. It's a luxury item. It's not necessary.
Huh.
This is for people who want the entire ecosystem. And it's the best product out there. It does the best job, and you're going to be paying. It's going to be ridiculous.
I just don't get how they can sell like an Apple TV for $100, or you know, I guess the iPhones are that expensive, and so are the iPod Touches. You know, they're $300 or so. I keep coming back to a talk that I heard in Las Vegas, an HP event, where you know it was making the comparisons, where it was like he goes, "We can make an HP Slate for whatever it was, $69, you know, $70 for a 7-inch piece of glass that has multiple sensors in it and a full blown operating system." He was like, and then you have my Pebble.
Yeah.
That I paid, you know, I got it on Kickstarter and I paid $79 for it. I think they now retail for $150. And he's like, and it's an inch and a quarter piece of plastic that's not touchscreen, that has one sensor in it, you know, without, when it doesn't have a full-blown operating system. And he's like, look, there's, from just a component standpoint, it doesn't make sense. And so I keep thinking about that, and I'm like, man, they could price this bad boy at like $200. They could do it, and they would sell truckloads of them, and like an Apple TV, sell it as like an accessory. You know, and that's how they pitch it. They could.
You know what? You know what I think they're actually going to do? I think they're going to charge stupid money for the first one.
Really?
And then they're going to do what they did with the MacBook Airs, where it went from they cost more than your high end.
Yeah, weren't they like $1,600 at first? I mean, they were expensive.
Yeah, they were more expensive than your low end pros by a good margin. And okay. Then the next generation replaced the low-end MacBooks. Like, what? what happened?
Okay. I can see that. All right.
You know, I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to start out as a luxury item just for the cachet of it, and then it'll drop back down.
Okay. And you think it'll do notifications, which would be nice to specify which notifications you get and which ones you don't. Yeah. And you'll have, what was the other one?
Health tracking.
Health tracking. That would be the big one.
Okay. And I think, and I'll even go so far as to say Q3.
Oh, all right.
I think it'll come out with the next iPhone around iOS 8. that same time period. Yeah. I think that the iPhone. I think you're gonna get a bigger screen. I think this is the year. I think you'll have a new model that is the bigger screen. I think the iPhone C will become the 5S with a plastic case, and the 6 will be the 4.5-inch screen.
Mm, okay, I can see that.
And better battery life just because it's a bigger phone.
That
one's just kind of a reading the tea leaves of the rumor mills. That one seems less, it's one of those things where they've really ramped up production of large screen iPhones. They're doing full on testing of two different large size models. That's pretty clear from supply chain reading and stuff. Like, they're doing that. And it is a bigger move. They're doing more in the area of making a bigger iPhone than they ever have in the past. And they're spending a lot more money on it than they have in the past. So I sit there and I go, I think this is the year where they're going to do it. And they're going to keep on the same time frame for that. I think you're probably going to get the iPads. Easy roadmap for that. They're going to get the thumbprint ID. They're going to get upgraded A8 processors. I think you're just going to kind of see the speed boost.
Do you think they'll also come out with a bigger screen? The rumors about that 13-inch.
Oh, yeah. You know, that one's a tough one, man. That is a tough one. I'm going to go with no. but I really? Could really easily be wrong on that.
Well, I'll go with yes.
Okay.
Just to be, because I want one.
I mean,
I'm not going to buy one because I still got student loans, but if I were to buy one.
Yeah. I'm so sure that they're coming out with the iWatch and a bigger iPhone that I'm really hesitant to say that they'll come out with a third new product. I'm using my air quotes for you that aren't watching me. A third new product category, as they would describe it. I think that's a little bit.
I guess
too
if
much
we're still including
Apple
the iMacs and stuff.
Oh yeah, and a 4K iMac. Yeah, it's a lot. It's not unquestionable by any means because it's not a hard thing to engineer. It's just, I think they're going to leave something in their back pocket for the year after.
All right. So you think they're probably playing with it, but not necessarily getting ready for live go. Fair enough.
That's kind of Matt. Mac Mini is going the way of the Dodo at some point, maybe not. I don't know. It's in line for an upgrade. It drives me nuts that they haven't done anything with the Apple TV. I say this as I look at mine on my desk. It's awesome, and I just want it to be a little more awesomer. I want it to be programmable. I want it to have an SDK. That's really what I want. Because there's huge potential there.
It sounds like they do. It's just not open to the public.
Yeah, that's what kills me. Because it's sweet, man. It's cool, especially being able to navigate it with my iPhone. The remote app from the iPhone, oh, it's great. So awesome. So good. There's one bug that drives me crazy, but I'm working on it. I'm letting Apple know.
good man.
Yeah. It's my duty.
So nothing out of left field for them, huh? Just kind of...
They're going to come out with some big new products.
Keep making headway into the car. It'll be great. Siri will keep learning.
Yeah, exactly. I think you'll see, that's one big thing that, the whole Siri in the car will get more and more integration. I think more general acceptance. I think you'll start seeing third-party radios start to incorporate that more, aftermarket radios.
I won't, because I don't buy new cars. But others will.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
The iWatch is, that's a little bit out of left field.
Except for the fact that at All Things G, you pretty much said it. Now it's just a matter of when.
I know. Yeah. Wait, this is the other big question. Everybody keeps wanting something in March. They coming out with that? Are they going to start doing March releases again?
Man, I would not be surprised just given all of the fluff that they got for waiting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the problem was because they waited, people started coming up with their own stories. So it became about the share, and it became about the the patents and stuff. And I just think, with a lot of that stuff, if you come out with new products on a regular basis, they're not going to go looking for stories.
Right.
They'll just, this last quarter, all it was, Carl Icahn asked to do a $50 billion buyback, but Apple's saying don't. I saw one or two stories about it, that was it. And then the other ones were all about sales of iPhones relative to Samsung and, web share usage numbers and blah, blah, blah. So I just, I could see where they would do it. It makes a lot of sense just from a purely PR standpoint. And they came out with a lot of stuff at the very end. And
it's funny, but like we said, the iMacs haven't gotten a refresh in a year.
Yeah.
The Mac Pro or the Mac Mini hasn't gotten a refresh in 2 years. There are things. The iPods. Now, doesn't that seem obvious?
They're not going to do anything with these.
You don't think so? But
they could refresh the iPod Touch, I guess.
What I'm saying is that they could – there's enough products that have had it, that have sat on the shelf without a refresh long enough where they could do something in March that was just enough to make some noise but not really a big deal, but just see we're still innovating, and keep on going. And, I think they're going to continue to make inroads in China and India, obviously, with the signing of the China Mobile deal. That was a big, big deal. And I'm going to keep with my predictions on what that looks like, where they're going to sell a small portion of the market and everybody's going to say it's terrible news, but it's actually going to be great news. They're going to sell a gazillion iPhones. So I don't think it's going to be. And then when the new iPhone launches, they're going to hit a new, you know, first weekend sales record because China Mobile is going to have the next generation iPhone, and it's going to be crazy. If you thought there was constrained supply this time around, just wait until next year.
It's
kind of, I'm, you know, staying the course with it. iOS 8, they'll come out with an iOS 8. I think you're going to see more and more stuff with iBeacons. I've actually went into an Apple store and got the bombardment of iBeacon notifications.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was actually a little bit annoying. I wasn't too thrilled about it. I thought it was going to be really cool, but they're still working out the exactly what that looks like in a non-annoying way. Well, it's funny because I kept getting notifications and I was like, whoa, man, how does it know I'm in this? Like, I'm like so stupid sometimes. I'm like, wow, man, the Apple store app must be running in the background. That's cool because it's like keeping track of my location. I was like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. Like,
that's funny.
I'm hoping that somebody will finally do the, you know, iBeacon, you know, I'm hoping Square or PayPal or somebody will finally do the iBeacon trading money on the phones and just like close the loop of NFC wallets and let that solution start to really become a solution. I don't think Apple's going to do anything in the way of that this year. They could, but I don't think so.
I don't even know if Square would. I think they're going to want to try to go public. If they don't go this year, next year.
Yeah. Well, Square's definitely going public this year. That's my. I'm on board with Jim Cramer. I'm definitely on board with Jim Cramer. They're going IPO this year. It's going to be cool. It's going to be awesome. Because they want to move into different markets. They've got they just came out with their new piece of hardware. And I think it was the intention is work out all the engineering kinks, IPO, get an unbelievable amount of capital to go into mass production, and then start selling in China, India, Germany, everywhere. You know, bring them to the world. I think that's their goal this year.
So speaking of the world, what do you got for Facebook?
Facebook,
they own the world already.
I know. I'm thinking you're going to see more and more of the Yahoofication of Facebook.
Liked that article, didn't you?
You know what? It's that. The more and more I think about it, the more I'm like, that was the analogy I was looking for. Like a good technology company that gets kind of quagmired in being just there, and as though that's a terrible thing to be. I think at some point, you're going to see Zuckerberg get really antsy and start wanting to work on other projects. We offhand mentioned that he might start a side hardware company. I think at some point you're going to see him realize that Facebook is awesome, it's big, and it's not going anywhere, but he's got other things he wants to do and other things he wants to work on, and I don't know what that looks like exactly, but I think he's going to start getting – he's going to start to realize that he can't tinker with Facebook the way he wants to because of a PR image reasons. He's going to get a lot of pushback on that sort of thing. And it's going to be those third-party apps like Instagram where he's really going to be allowed to play. It's a smaller market. It doesn't matter as much if he does damage or not. And I think you're going to see him move in that more and more that direction, which means I think you might see another big acquisition if they'll let them buy him, you know. And I think you'll see I think that's where you're going to see the new innovations in Facebook. Otherwise, Facebook, they're just going to really try to solidify their position as, making money off of ads, that they're profitable, that they can afford those other adventures. And you're going to try to see them just become even more and more solid as just sort of this background utility that everybody has and uses and nobody's particularly thrilled about, but nobody hates.
Similar to Google.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And
so is it a Googlefication or a Yahoofication?
I think it's more of a Yahoofication at this point. I think they're going to become more like Yahoo than Google. In some ways, they'll straddle a line between the two of them. As Zuckerberg's a really, 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 really smart engineer. Having somebody like that at the helm is good.
And he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, no. Yeah, he'll work on side projects, but he's going to stay at the head of Facebook.
Yeah, they'll have the name of Facebook under him.
Right, exactly.
Go start as another company.
Yeah, exactly. But like I said, I think he really wants to build hardware. I don't know what that looks like for him. If I don't think that's necessarily a phone anymore. Like you said, I think the fact that phones have gotten to where they're at, anything he wants to do with a phone, they can do it with a phone without building the hardware.
Yeah.
But I think he loves hardware, and he wants to see something cool.
Well, a lot of the cool stuff they've been doing has been in the server space and that back-end stuff.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is that a lot of what they do is invisible to you and I.
And that might be enough for him right now.
What about you? Do you think they got anything up their sleeve?
I think they'll introduce a couple new things. I couldn't tell you necessarily what they are. You know, like graph search, that'll get a little better. Facebook's just going to be Facebook, you know? Like you said, it's going to become a utility. At the end of the day, Google search is Google search. You know,
right.
It really hasn't changed a whole bunch since they first showed it off.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, they're non-visible changes for sure. They're always constantly messing and tweaking with the design just a little bit, which is fine. they're going to be focusing a whole lot more on mobile, as we know, and majority of the revenues are going to come from there if they're not already. I can't remember. And so that's cool. I would love to see them do that distributed ad network. I feel like they should have done it 2 years ago, and I still don't understand why they haven't yet. I don't feel like it's a technical problem, and so I don't.
Their distributed ad network? Which one is that one?
Yeah, that one where you can have ads on other sites.
Oh, yeah.
I just think that there's so much potential there, and I don't know why they're not. And so I want to see them do that. But like I said, I feel like they should have already done it.
Yeah.
And it was like before they focused on their Facebook app, come out with that for mobile phones. Anyways, I could see definitely where they try to pick up other projects. The only problem, though, is when you watch them do internal projects, they tend to fail, and mostly because they tend to copy other apps. You don't see them, at least with Twitter, they're like, we're doing Vine. Like, it's video, but it's different.
Right.
And you're like, okay, that's cool. Facebook hasn't done something where it's like, oh, we're doing pictures or video or social different. And I think until we see something like that, and I don't know if Zuckerberg's got that in him, I was like, it'll just continue to be frustrating for everybody involved.
Well, what's crazy is that, even if Zuckerberg doesn't have it in him, somebody there does. They've got some of the most brilliant engineers in the world working there.
But if you keep asking them the wrong question, they'll never come up with the right answer.
That's true.
And that might be their issue. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, a Facebook, man, it just in some ways they're so one-dimensional.
Yeah, well, that's what they do.
I know.
Google it.
Man, what aren't they going to do this year?
I know.
Another version of Android, of course. Google Glass will be sold to the public, hopefully at a cheaper rate than $1,500.
Probably. What do you think? What's your guess?
$500.
I'm betting 350 to 400.
I thought 300 in my head, but I said 500 out loud. Because I think that's what they would do. I think that they will sell a lot, but not as much as they need to. If that makes sense.
Yeah, they have a PR problem with it. They really do, and that's going to be an issue.
Well, from what I understand, people who – it was you who told me this – people who have bought it even those who like said they would never take it off just aren't wearing them anymore.
Really?
Yeah, and so I think Robert Scoble was the person they were referring to because he was pretty vocal about it. And he was like, I love this thing. I'm never taking it off. And I think he has. And part of it is reaction. Part of it is it's just not quite there yet. It doesn't. There's something it doesn't do. There are other competitors cropping up, though. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the really exciting thing is that it has ignited a lot of that. And I think what would be really cool would be to find, you know, Google wanted to build something that would always be there for you, whereas their competitors are finding niche uses to justify this, you know, sports utility type stuff. Like, right. That's one of their big competitors. I think if Google could find an area where it'd be great to have this when you're doing this task, so you don't necessarily always have it on, unlike a watch. But you definitely want it when you're doing whatever. That would be pretty good. That would be really helpful for them, you know.
And, yeah, I could see that for sure. So I see them making progress there. You know, they're going to do that, you know, as they always do. Like I said, Android updates. I don't know what they would add.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, that one's, you know...
Part of my problem is I'm not a user, and so I don't know the subtleties where I'm like, oh, they really need to fix this. And
I mean, even with the iPhone, it's hard to tell what, you know, your new APIs are going to be and what your next big thing is. I think you're going to see more and more. You're going to see the idea of the unification of Android pushed even further again this year. And what I think you're starting to see is you're starting to see it really be outliers that complain about the fragmentation in Android. It's become really clear that like most core APIs are usable across most of the different operating systems. And for developers, it's not this big fragmentation thing that people are dealing with anymore. And it's, you know, developers are starting to find that you build one or two builds of the apps for different, you know, for different gradations, but it's not like you build a different app for every phone like you used to. And I think that Google just wants to make it get to the point where it's like the, you know, it's like the iPhone. You build four different iPhone apps, basically, when you build an iPhone app. You build the Retina, the 4-inch Retina display iPhone, the 3.5-inch non-Retina display iPhone, the non-Retina display iPad 2, essentially, and then the Retina display iPad Air. Mm-hmm. And it requires four different sets of graphics and four different or three different dimensions, right? And the end result is, you know, these apps that is four different apps. And that's really what Google wants to get to, is you build four different apps. I think you're getting to the point where, from a developer point of view, that's kind of where they're at. There's not a lot of problems with that. You know, if it's a well-selling device, you know, thing on the Android, you know, Play Store, it's a pretty safe bet. And I think that is such a big goal for Android that really limits any really cool innovations they want to put in.
Well, I could definitely see too where what they're doing is keeping Android what it is, you know, a stock platform that runs smooth and efficiently, and yeah, sure, there's improvements there that happen, but then doing some of the cool new features, keeping those, quote, on top of Android. Think exactly what they did with the Moto X. This isn't a part of Android. I mean, it would have been 2 years ago, but
right. They're apps that are built into the UI. Yeah, well, they basically are doing what Samsung does. And that's what allows them to differentiate themselves and compete, which I think it's a good plan.
And that's where you'll see them putting their energy and effort is and that kind of stuff, which, yeah, why not? Totally should do that.
Hey, exactly.
Do I see anything else happening for Google? Google Plus, you know, it's it keeps making improvements. They messed with the Hangouts recently, which is fine, but doing that. I don't know. It'll keep doing its thing.
If Facebook isn't going to make any big moves, Google Plus isn't going to make any big moves. They want to get, you know.
Okay, I'm saying it right now. Gmail is sticking around. They're not killing it. Sorry.
I almost threw up when you said that, dude. Don't scare me like that. Yeah, that is a good question. What unique service, what important service do we use that they're going to get rid of on us? Oh, you know what they're going to get rid of? I'll bet they get rid of Google Chat. Straight up. Just it becomes Google Hangout, and you have
it's
to use
not already?
Google Plus. No, I mean, well, it's kind of all integrated services, but it's like,
yeah,
it doesn't really go away, but it, you know, I could see it go away, and maybe, I don't know.
No, I think it's already gone, isn't it?
Maybe, I guess. I don't know. I don't know these things. I would call Google, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I hope they don't get rid of, like, Google Contacts. Oh, they wouldn't, because that's, like, a core part of Android. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Calendar.
Exactly. Jeez, man. That was just so rough. It just, like, it rattles me, man. It rattles me.
Well, I think it was Om Malik of GigaOm was just, like, goes after that happened, because he was right there in our camp. He's like, I made a living off of Google Reader, essentially.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I am going to try out Yahoo Mail now.
You have no idea.
I really felt like that was a core service. And
yeah.
Come to find out it's not. And he's like, and I'm checking out these other cloud-based document things because I don't know if they're going to keep drive around. And at the time, there were probably rumors on, you know, is it going to be Google Docs or is it Drive? And, you know, what's that all mean? And yeah, they, you know, I don't know.
They rattled the wrong group of users with that one. They really, I mean, you know, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. What are you supposed to do? Not do it. But I don't know. I just, jeez. Makes me nervous.
They're going to kill Google Chrome. Like, yeah, we were done. Actually, I heard the sales of those were pretty good, so I guess they'll keep it around.
Oh,
I wish they wouldn't. Just fold that into Android and call it good. Yeah. Are we missing anything for Google? They'll keep doing the car thing. Do you think they'll announce, like, hey, we're working on this, and, you know, it's 10 years out, but it's going to be awesome?
I'll bet. Okay. So this is gonna so Tesla's already announced that they're gonna announce their next car this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tesla has already announced that their goal is to have a car that does 90% of your driving for you by the time this next round of cars launch.
Cool.
I wouldn't be surprised if Google gets a little bit froggy and says, "Guess what? We're ready to build a commercial self-driving car." I could see them do that this year, especially with the purchases of Boston Dynamic and the whole slew of automated, you know, automation and robotics companies that they've bought. They're doing some big stuff in that. They're really, really moving fast and hard. They didn't buy Boston Dynamics so that they can become a military contractor. They bought right. that, I think. They bought that for some other reason, and I think in this case it's similar to, like, with Siri, you know, stuff that happens with Siri. The obvious answer is the right one. Their big automated robotics thing right now that they're doing are cars, and they're buying robotics. They're buying the smartest robotics brains in the world to help them build that and bring that to market. And I could see them do, like, a Google I/O announcement where they're like, we're pretty much here. We're ready to do this. We're ready to start bringing this to consumer grade cars. We're working with different partners. This is the plan. This is the roadmap.
That'd be cool. I'm a little more doubtful of that, but that would be cool.
Yeah, that's a hopeful prediction. That's definitely me. I'm saying it, I'm not super confident about it.
Yeah.
Given it, yeah.
What about Samsung?
Samsung, I think that they're going to keep coming out with like just a. I think we got them sorted with our last prediction of they just make a ton of different phones. And they just try so many different things. And it's, you know, I think they're really a big fan of the. They want to move to OLED big time. They want everything to be OLED. They want to make a big deal about that, so they'll make everything curved glass if they can. They're going to come out with
the S5 now? Is that their?
Yeah. And I think they get beat up a lot for it being a cheap phone, quote unquote, because it's made out of plastic. I'll bet they change that strategy this time around. I'll bet it's a better quality build phone, and doesn't have that. That hanging around its neck. And
I disagree. I think they'll keep it cheap.
Fair enough. Why?
Because they sell and they're hitting the price point.
It's a good argument. I wonder if going back to our conversation on how well are they selling? You know, Samsung sells a ton of phones.
It's only in the last couple quarters that they've been missing, and these phones are too far in the pipe for them to change their plans.
Good point. Okay, you win. You win that one.
Thank you. I think they'll come out with another watch, whatever the next version of that is. I don't know if it'll be any better, but
I bet it'll be better.
There'll be improvements.
They'll get rid of stupid features like the camera. They'll improve the battery life.
Yeah.
They'll simplify where they don't need features, and they'll improve features where the features are needed. I think it'll be a better. I don't think it'll be worth the money, but it'll be better.
Be better. Let it work with more phones and tablets, and it'll be good.
Do you think they'll come out with any other new product category stuff?
No. I think they'll stick. I think they'll continue to stay away from tablets. They think the phablet is the space for them, and so they're going to stick there.
They haven't been terribly wrong. They're doing all right there, so.
Yeah.
They pretty much own that, actually. Not bad.
Yep.
Cool.
The Canadian berries that are black.
The Canadian fruit company?
I'm going to say it. They die this year.
Oh, man.
They're losing money. They went through a huge shakeup.
A ton of money.
It's either that or they get broken up in some way, and so they're really not BlackBerry anymore, you know?
I think that's what's going to happen. I think the shadow
of what they used to be.
I think Canada decided that they didn't want to... that they want to keep BlackBerry around. I think it's too much of a political... I think BlackBerry has become a political problem for the Canadian government. And because of that, you know, as a vaguely socialist country, they're not like America where, you know, where it's
you'll let Kodak die.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying they'll file bankruptcy at any point, but I think they decided this year that they want to keep BlackBerry around. And I think it's largely because it's twofold. One of the big things they said that like prevented any real deals from happening was that they basically said you have to keep the factories open, you have to keep building phone, you have to keep building something in Canada with the employees here. And all these other companies were like, what the heck? No, you guys stink at building hardware. Why would we do that? And I think the country of Canada really wants to keep those jobs in Canada as best they can. And so they'd rather let BlackBerry slowly die, hoping that they can turn the boat around, than break it up and sell it. I could see it become smaller things and them all be in Canada. And in Ontario, but I think the name BlackBerry will be around on a company in
so So I looked at their financials because we did this last year, so why not?
Yeah. Which is, it's a completely flip story.
This time last year, remember they made $9 million. The following quarter, they made $98 million.
Nice. That's a 10% increase. No.
That's a 10x.
Yeah, that's a 1,000-time increase.
Yeah, there we go. But then the following week they lost $84 million, and then they lost $2.7 billion, and then they lost in the most recent quarter $4.4 billion. So that's where they've been sitting at. And let's see here, where are your balance sheet at? Here we go. Total assets. Yeah, see, this is where they're going to get themselves into trouble. Is, again, this time last year, they were at $12.6 billion. And then they went up to $13.1 billion. And they went down to $13 billion. And they went down to $12.5 billion. And currently they're at $8.3 billion. Ah, that hurt. For those of us who are doing quick math, if you're losing about 4.4 and you've got about 8.3 sitting in the bank, you have a problem. That gets you about two more quarters, unless something changes. Three quarters at the most, unless something changes. That's why I am going to reiterate they're dead. They can't survive in their current form.
How does it end?
Well, my guess – okay, fair enough question. Again, my guess is that what they do is they sell part of the company, whether it's I don't know. They sell off the hardware piece and they go, we're going to go all software. I don't know what that means necessarily, because now you're going to – go into other operating systems or something? Are they going to try to partner with other companies? I don't see them sticking with hardware. I honestly don't even see them sticking with software, if I were totally honest, because it's not that great. But they got the patents.
Well, and BlackBerry Messenger still has a pretty big user base, and they've got it on the Android and iPhone now.
Where they do that, you know, where they keep that around, but now they're a company that counts their money in millions instead of billions, and you know, they're, like I said, a shadow of what they used to be. They've got a team of 50 engineers or something that works on it, and that's it. Like you said, how could they be bought out if the government isn't going to let them? I mean, they are like, I don't know, though. You wait two more quarters, everyone might get pretty flexible pretty quick. You know, where BlackBerry goes to Canada and says, you're going to lose this no matter what. So, you know, do you want us to go bankrupt? Or will you let Lenovo buy us? Come on, make a choice. And, you know, or Microsoft for that matter. Which I don't know why Microsoft would buy them, other than they're crazy and they would do it anyways. You know, they got their new CEO coming in, and he wants to make a statement, and so what the heck?
Yeah, well, that would be the wrong statement to make.
Well, you know, I would agree. But they can't continue on. But that's how I see it. I don't – as part of their company being sold, and what remains on – because I think technically Kodak is still a company.
Oh, yeah. No, they totally are.
They're just not Kodak anymore. And so – That's how I see BlackBerry going. I don't think they'll be making phones. I think their market share will drop to zero. Like WebOS. Palm.
I have a really hard time arguing with you on that. I think the name BlackBerry will be on, like I said, I think the name BlackBerry will be over the door of an office building that is open for business in Ontario.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'll be anything like the company that it is today.
Yep. That's what I think. The numbers are not good.
They're very bad. And they've literally got nothing in the pipeline.
Well, and your biggest problem is, you got nothing in the pipeline. They just got a brand new CEO. and Microsoft bought Nokia. And so if you're for whatever reason not looking at Android or iOS, which I don't know why, but let's just say you're in that position, all of a sudden Windows Phone 8 is pretty compelling.
And it's a good phone on good hardware. Yeah. I mean, I keep coming back to that.
Microsoft can play up the security and the integration with Windows 8, as horrible as it is. They can do it, and they will do it. Plus, they've already got your PC contract. You know, now they can say, hey, we've got a pretty good phone over here. We'll give you a good deal because now we own Nokia, and we don't have to share profits with them. And so, I can see that happening. You know, if you were that kind of company, why wouldn't you? I don't see why you would choose BlackBerry, which clearly $4.4 billion loss proves my point that most people are going, yeah. And, you know, you can see that kind of stuff. You're like, why in the world am I going to buy a phone on a two-year contract when mathematically you're not even going to make it to the end of the year? So
yeah.
Why am I taking a risk
hardware,
on this?
You're right. Hardware doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but I don't see how they could also live as software only, other than, I don't know, which is probably the reason why Nintendo doesn't want to get out of hardware, because they're like, yeah, it's not as awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess, yeah.
So, okay. Well, Tesla.
The nice part about Tesla is that Elon Musk likes to tell you exactly what he's going to do way in advance.
We're going
to
announce our announcement. You're going to what?
Say no.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no real mystery here.
They're gonna come out with a new car. I can already show you what a concept looks like.
2015. It's gonna be more affordable in the ballpark of 30-40K. They're gonna announce it this year. He wants to build an automated driving car, and he wants to sell that in like 2 to 3 years as well. He wants to go to space some more because he likes that project.
Don't blame him.
Solar
power from via Solar City will continue to blow up.
Yeah. He keeps making a lot of money now. And I think it sounds like there is a group that's gotten together with the whole Hyperloop thing. And he might become part of that in a bigger capacity as just sort of the face of it, if nothing else.
Cool.
But I don't know where they would build it. California is the obvious answer, but it's the obvious answer because I want it to be the obvious answer.
Come to Oregon. It's such an obvious answer.
No. They're all obvious answers. Oh, you know what we skipped on Google? Google Fiber.
Oh.
They're going to roll out to more cities. And back on to the
video games.
Video games. So I think this year, obviously, I think I've kind of gotten into the whole Oculus Rift thing and the Steam Machine things. Mm-hmm. I am super stoked on both of those. I'm really excited for what Oculus Rift does. I think they're going to come out. Their plan is to come out with some hardware this year. I think it's going to come out. I think it's going to be really well received. I think people are going to spend some serious coin on it. I think people are in the mood to buy new hardware. It's just kind of it's the right year for it. People are in the market. They're looking. Xbox One and PlayStation were super expensive. So a lot of people didn't go out and just buy stuff right away. Or they did because they can afford it and they like spending money on this kind of stuff.
Curiosity. At the end, let's see, this will be interesting. At the end of next year, which console will you think will have sold the most?
PlayStation 4.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because it costs $100 less.
I guess that's true.
And I think...
But they're kind of neck and neck right now, aren't they?
Not really. No, yeah, they PlayStation 4 is outselling in some markets, the PlayStation 4 is outselling Xbox like 2-1. It's nuts. The PlayStation 4, I have not seen a box with the PlayStation 4 in it. Now, the Xbox was completely sold out of Target when we went there on Thursday, so it's not like the Xbox is selling poorly. We had to go to the Microsoft store to find one. But like I said, thankfully,
there was no one inside that store, so they had plenty in stock.
Yeah, well, it's funny. We didn't even call ahead. We were just like, where would we go to buy one? I was like, Microsoft Store. Tim was like, Microsoft Store. Yep, you're right. And we I love picking on them. I know. It was a really good, I got to give him credit. It was a great buying experience. It was on par with the Apple experience.
Cool.
Apple Store. They know what they're doing. I mean, it's especially for buying video game systems there, it makes a lot of sense. If you're going to buy an Xbox, buying it from the store is pretty fun. In the same way that buying it from the Apple Store is fun. But what was I going to say? I think the PlayStation 4 is going to have a really big lead. Xbox is still going to sell like crazy. And I think the general feeling though is going to be this, that the Xbox is a little bit of a better deal overall. People really like the Kinect, even just being able to talk to it. Yep. But the whole navigating without the controller is a big deal. They did a good job.
Why I would think that it would compete pretty well despite the higher price.
But it's mostly driven by gamers, and that's two games.
I guess that's true.
You know, but I think long term, I think the Xbox does better than the PlayStation 4. Sort of like the PlayStation 3. You know, long term, the PlayStation 3 has outsold the Xbox 360 every quarter for like the last 12 quarters. I think it's a better long term strategy. And the reality is, you sell so many of both systems that developers don't really care. They realize that they can make a ton of money by building games for both. It's worth the money. There's a big enough. You've crossed the tipping point of a big enough market share.
Fair enough.
And I could see too
with them, you're investing millions of dollars into making a game, and so might as well make them cross compatible.
Exactly.
I actually read this really cool article, and I didn't link to it because it was actually last week. I was asking the question, how do big game developers transfer files back and forth? Because they're like, they've got distributed teams, and these files are, you know, gigs and gigs and gigs. And they're like, you can't email that stuff out. And so they were talking about how they have created these systems to, you know, where they're doing Delta file changes and stuff like that. And they actually ultimately ended up going with BitTorrent to transfer the game files back and forth so that you could, again, they were all distributed across the network, and so you could actually download it pretty fast at a reasonable rate.
That's cool.
But they were talking about all those problems. And the things have gotten smart enough now where they can be developing for, say, Xbox and PlayStation, and they go, 90% of the code is exactly the same. And so now it stores just one copy of that part of the code, and then it knows, oh, okay, this is for all of it, this is just for Sony over here, this is for Xbox. And when you say, give me the Xbox code, it grabs from the Xbox part and from the core, you know, from the both section of it, and then it just gives you that one. I was like, I guess that would be a pretty big technical hurdle when you're transferring 50 gigs of data.
Yeah, those files are unbelievably big. The uncompiled code is nuts.
Yeah, but that's what they were saying, is that most of it's the same. So if you're spending, you know, millions of dollars developing a game, you might as well spend another million or two to make it cross-compatible, because like you said, the markets for both are big enough that it's worth the investment.
Right. And then
Nintendo, you think they'll still be around?
Yeah. I think they'll do fine. You know, honestly, I think Pokemon saved them.
Wow.
Just, I have enough friends that I went out and bought one, including me, because of Pokemon, and it was it marked something of a difference in the market, and I've seen more and more people with the DSs of some various level. And once you've bought the hardware, it's hard to, you know, it's easy to justify buying a game or two.
That's true.
You know, and they actually came out with a game that moved hardware.
Hey!
Finally, I know. It's a big surprise that's the trick. And hopefully they do that with the Wii U. They come out with some game that moves. I'm guessing Smash Bros. Will do well, but we'll see. The Steam machine, I don't know.
I probably will not move as fast as you want it to.
And yeah, you know what? That's okay. This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to try my hardest to justify buying one, and I'm going to be really disappointed by how poorly it does. That's what my prediction is for 2014.
Fair enough. I will live vicariously through you.
Yeah. Video games in general.
What it means is that I need to come to California when you're around.
Yeah, I know.
That's what
I got a
means.
Pretty sweet setup, dude. I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, I'm trying to think of if there's any particular games in 2014 that are going to be a big deal. But once again,
probably.
Yes. The answer is yes. I'm not going to predict any particular games. I just don't know enough. I guess. Is Hewlett Packard doing anything big this year?
Oh. So HP is just finishing year three of the turnaround, which is supposed to last 5 years.
Right.
So the idea was year one and two were cut and slash and, you know, do that kind of stuff, fix places that are broken. Year three was so we were expected to not do well, I guess. Not necessarily lose money, but – you know, massive negative growth. Year three was a year of flatness. Again, trying to turn the ship, which happened. I think we slightly missed, but, you know, whatever it is, where it's at. They said for year four, which is what we were just getting ready to enter, they should see some return to growth. And then year five is like, all right, yeah, we made it. It's all good. And so you're starting to see some of those innovative products like this last year, right? We saw HP launched, man, how many was it? It was like 7 new tablets or something like that.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. How many? I saw this really cool chart back in the summer where they had all these different market segments. It was super cool. It was like functionality by price, essentially. And what they did was they added all the different tablets, you know, on this continuum, you know, with the iPad, like way up and to the right, essentially. And then they had each of those broken up into different types of customers and wants or needs. And then they had existing competitor products on that map. And it was cool. You could see some definite obvious gaps in, you know, in different markets.
Yeah.
And, you know, and in that meeting they said, and we're going to fill these 7 right here. Guess what? They came out with 7 and they were all to hit very specific markets. And so they did that. That was part of that, you know, hey, we're going to do the turnaround with the PC side of things. It was, hey, we're going to make some sleek looking, awesome PCs. I think HP was highly disappointed, just like everybody else, with Windows 8 and that, you know, kind of stunted ideas there. But like I said, we're going to keep coming out with stuff for that. Get big into the convertibles. Meg Whitman has publicly stated HP is going to get into the phone game. That hasn't happened yet. I don't know of any plans for it, but I'm guessing somewhere, something, HP is working on an Android phone of sorts.
A Palm phone?
Yeah, no, not a Palm phone, crazily enough. No, we keep coming out with Android tablets, so I'm going to guess that we're going to do an Android phone.
Probably. Fair enough.
You'll be able to print from it super easily. I know that. That works pretty well. I also know that, you know, they're doing a whole bunch of stuff in the server and services space, but I don't fully understand it. So I won't comment too much on it from a consumer standpoint. They've also got some cool things with printers, but I know too much, and so I don't know what I can and can't say.
Fair enough.
But, you know, every year they come out with, man, it's unbelievable, you know, 2 to 8 new inkjets and 2 to 8 new laser jet printers. So, you know, they'll do the same, just like they have every year. And, yeah, I think they'll hit where they want to hit. I remember, and I think I shared this story where when Meg came on board, you know, and someone asked him, like, all right, Meg, you know, what are you going to do? What's the next big innovative thing? And she, you know, Meg in her line, she's like, I don't know. I'm not a brilliant engineer who invents products. She goes, but what I do know how to do is invest in ideas that seem promising, which is why, yes, we're going to lay off some people, but we're going to take that money and put it into R&D in this certain projects. And she's like, quite honestly, it's up to you guys to do the research and to do the work and to create something awesome. And if you can do that, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, no pressure. And, you know, I would say that that hasn't happened yet. There's been some slight improvements, but I don't think we've come out with anything yet where we're like, yeah, this is the bee's knees and this is going to sell for the next 20, 30 years. I just haven't seen it. So, I don't know, maybe it has, and maybe she's forgot about that awesome little speech that she made. I don't know. Yeah, that's where I see HP at.
Cool. I like it. I don't have anything. My prediction
I know,
is what you said
so
is right.
Super unexciting because it's just Windows 8, man.
Microsoft.
It ruins everything.
Brings us
Microsoft
too.
I predict they will have a new CEO.
I know. Do you have any predictions on who it'll be?
Nope, neither does Microsoft, which is the funny part.
You know what? Touche. I was actually gonna throw one out there, but I think you make a good point.
Well, it's like the people who it's funny, they will mention or somehow in the rumor mill, a name will get thrown out there.
Yeah.
And then very quickly, that CEO and or company will be like, oh, actually, I'm pretty happy with where I'm at. No, I'm not looking at all.
Yeah.
You know, Alan Mulally, the CEO of Ford, was the classic one. We're like, oh, it's going to be him because he came from Boeing and then he went to Ford and transformed it. And he's going to do the same thing for Microsoft. And there's like, actually, no, he's got an agreement through the end of the year. He loves it here. And
yeah.
You said you're going to pick a new CEO before then, so not going to be him. And
yeah.
And there's been a couple others where like, actually, no, I'm not super interested in that whole beast. So who knows? Maybe Wade Mittman goes, let's move up the stack. Let's solve that.
Yeah.
HP's in year 4 of its fix-up. We're all good here. No, I don't think she would leave.
No.
I would require her to move, and that's no fun.
I was going
to
say, she likes Palo Alto. She likes the Bay Area.
I know. She's a celebrity there, which is fine. I don't know who it will be. I'd be shocked if it was someone from Apple who went over there or Google. Though, I mean, Marissa Meyer went to Yahoo, I guess. So,
you know, except
does happen.
There's one that you haven't mentioned. Who's open?
Zuckerberg?
No.
Wait.
He recently sold the company he was captaining the ship of.
Heinz Thorn?
Oh man, Stephen Alop.
Oh no, yeah. I don't see that happening. No way.
You sure?
I'm sure.
I mean, he did what he did his job. He tanked Nokia so that Microsoft could buy it, you know. They gotta pay him back somehow.
Yeah, I don't. So
I could be a horrible
objectively,
idea.
Here's a guy who went over to another company and essentially killed it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you want for your leader? Come on.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I just – their problem is that they need someone who's innovative and organizational and highly competitive and somehow can ignore what Bill Gates has to say.
And don't forget, he also has to be able to exist within the current corporate structure
yeah.
with the people
and
who are going to hire him.
And has previous experience and doesn't come from too big of a competitor. And you know what I mean? You just like – these things start to line up and you're like, I don't know. You know, they
think
know.
Think a no-name maybe, somebody that we didn't even heard of.
Or you go, oh, yeah, I've heard of that person, huh?
Yeah.
You know, something like that. And what'll be really frustrating is they'll hire some chief operating officer, someone who's
right.
really good at that, not some visionary person, which is, you know, like a Scott Forstall. That would be like, there's a part of me that's like, that would be cool.
It would be cool.
Because he would come in and be like, I've got ideas. Let's make this happen. I left on bad terms with Apple, so I want to beat them. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then put someone underneath him who knows how to get it done.
Windows would actually have windows in them.
Oh, my gosh. It'd be hilarious. There'd be birds everywhere. And, you know, I could totally see that. And he won't, obviously. What I mean by that, obviously. But I don't see that happening at all.
Yeah.
They've got a short list of people they're talking to. I hope. That whole thing is a mess. And I honestly, I think until that gets resolved, you're going to see that company kind of at a standstill. Sure, they've got stuff that's already in the works and kind of running through the pipe. But, you know, so, yeah, you'll see an update to Windows 8, you know, 8.2 or whatever it is, and hopefully it'll, I don't know, hopefully it'll do something.
Yeah, seriously.
So you'll see that kind of stuff. But I don't see them, you know, and they just came out with the Xbox. So, you know, they're not going to be messing with cars. They're not going to be any new crazy product areas.
I think the most exciting part about Microsoft for the next year is going to be Nokia and what it's doing abroad and in developing markets and stuff.
And the CEO thing. That'll be fun.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. From a product standpoint. Yeah, whatever Nokia has to offer with their phones and tablets, I think is cool. Fix Windows 8, please, for my job's sake. And for Apple, you know, bring the competition in. It's awesome.
Yeah, seriously, guys. Come on now.
Yep.
Okay, I guess we kind of talked about Snapchat.
Yeah, we did.
To make it official. Yeah, we did. We made it official.
Go around. They'll keep growing. Still no revenue model.
Yeah, and if they don't get an adult at the head soon, they're not going to make it long term.
My economic prediction. I did that earlier.
Yeah, please don't make me throw up again. I appreciate that.
So, who was it? It was our mom sent us this article about stocks going up, and I think in my reply I included you in it because you weren't in the original thread. Because she was like, "Hey, it looks like stocks are predicted to go up." Yeah, I believe it. I know you're going to hate to hear this, but I see 14 as it's going to be another good year. Fine, a lot of growth. I don't think the market will grow as much as it did this last year. I think there might be a 10-point correction before it gets back to growth somewhere in there, which I think is fine. I wish it would be bigger, to be honest, but that's a different, more technical conversation behind that. So don't just take that for what it was. And I think that it's going to be relatively strong. When you think about the business cycle, it really started the upswing in 2007, and so we're right in the middle of it. So there's no reason for it not to continue along. It's just still not as hot as it should be at this point in the cycle. But we still got a couple more years of whatever this is.
That's fine. You know what? I can deal with that. I know. Things are fine. Things are good.
So all that to say, the economy is not going to be an excuse either way for company. Yeah.
It's not gonna be overly promising, but it's not gonna hurt them.
Yep.
All right.
And depending on which political party you lean on, it's either really good or really bad, depending on which articles you choose to believe.
Yeah. So general tech trends for 2014. What's gonna be your big ones? Okay, I'm gonna throw this one out there real quick and easy. Graphene, man. I think we're gonna keep talking about it. Like I said, unlike carbon nanotubes, I think this one actually has legs. I think you're gonna keep hearing more and more stories about people coming up with more and more incredible things that you can do with it.
Yeah.
That'll never see the light of day.
True.
But I actually think you'll also start to hear more and more real manufacturing techniques coming to you know, where people are saying, yeah, we figured out how to do this thing that we've been wanting to do that has a practical application in a, you know, in a manufacturable way. I don't think you're going to necessarily, you know, hear any big, it's not going to like, it's going to take over the, any big market, but, of consumer grade stuff. But I think it'll be, I think this year will be even more promising than last year, which was even more promising than the year before for that new super material.
Yeah. That makes sense. I can see that. Did you know that IKEA is selling a, you know, do-it-yourself, make-it solar kit for your home?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
That's cool.
That's from what I understand, cool. You know, you obviously assemble it yourself. Cause that's how they work. And then you put it up on your roof. And from what I understand, it's relatively reasonable. I don't know the efficiency of it, but, you know, from a price standpoint, it's getting there. It's interesting. I was talking with a builder earlier this month and just asking about some building trends. And one of the things I asked him about was solar, actually. Because I had just read an article that morning that was talking about how, like, solar sales were up some ridiculous number, you know, like 40%. And but it's off of a small base, so, you know, there's that. And so I asked him, I was like, you know, do you see solar as this trend where more and more customers are starting to ask for it and things like that? And he was like, honestly, no.
Huh.
He's like, the consumers still want a bigger house for the money that they can get, and at least in the Corvallis area, that was true. He goes, but what we have done is they now build every single building ready for solar. So, like, for example, they put all the vents on the north, is it the north side? Yeah, or the north and west side. I don't remember. There's two sides where you want to keep them free because they get really good sun.
Sunlight, right.
I just don't remember. And he goes, but we build every single house now so that it's ready to rock and roll. And you can just, you can install them up there in a nice big flat surfaces. And so it's ready, especially for new home construction. And it's just something where I'm just waiting for that equation to flip, right? Where the cost goes down just enough and the efficiency goes up just enough where you're like, yeah.
This is reading the tea leaves in a big way. But when I went to Semicon this year, the solar side of the show is notoriously more boring than the Semicon side, because the Semicon, they've actually got like robots to, like, displaying there's actually cool displays. The solar side, it's solar cells. It's the most boring place you could ever walk around. And there were more people there. You know, there was more energy. There were more. Now, granted, like, some companies, like, set up full-on bars where they offer you, like, free alcohol and, like, that one, helps. You know, yeah. And they'll hire super pretty girls to, like, you know, talk to you about their products. I mean, they go out of their way to try to spice it up a lot. But I think just in general, 2013, the industry was way more optimistic about photovoltaics. I don't know if that necessarily means anything for 2014, but, you know, like you said, there's an equation, and at some point, at some point you cross that, you know, that tipping point, and it makes sense to make that investment. And,
well, it's like they talk about with trucks. You know, because those guys do the math, because that's all they're doing is driving. And they said at some point in time, the math, and for them it's really predicated on gas prices, it makes sense to do certain investments. So, like, you know, they were going along, and then all of a sudden, trucks popped up with spoilers everywhere. And it was, you know, gas prices tipped, whatever that number was, and they went, oh, it makes sense now to buy the spoiler and, you know, save on the wind factor because the gas price is now high enough. And now when you look around, I'm sure you've noticed a lot of them now have those really long flaps underneath the bottom of the truck.
Right.
Or the trailer. And that's because, again, gas prices got high enough where they went, yep, makes sense to make that investment because we've calculated and we know the savings for these things. And, you know, and so they do them and you see homes doing them. Now, what I found was also interesting, and I can't remember if I read it or heard it, but they were saying, like, companies like SolarCity are just, like, growing like gangbusters.
Right.
Because people are like, yeah, sign me up. I'll pay you guys for the next 20 years. No big deal. So those are growing huge. And I think just because I live in Oregon, I don't see it as much. But I would imagine places in, like, Texas and California, especially Southern Cal, you know, are just seeing huge growth of those types of deals. People aren't quite willing to do the capital outlay for them, but they're totally signed up for those types of
And you're starting to hear like different cities in different countries. I can't remember the specific city that it was in, but so there was a huge deal. Might have been in America. It doesn't matter. But the point was that they wanted to change how the subsidies, how the taxes worked, because and for like putting money back into the meters and getting money back and stuff, because what they were basically was saying was that like they were getting enough solar power during like the peaks where essentially these houses were, you know, maybe it was they wanted to end the buybacks. As effectively what was happening was they were like pumping money into the network during the low periods and pulling power out during the high, and they were coming out neutral. They're basically, you know, it didn't cost anything.
Wrecking havoc on their system.
Yeah, yeah. And they basically were like, you're destroying the finances of these power plants. We can't do this because
I can see that in the winter, the summer.
You know, and that's winter. No. That's exactly what it is. Now that I'm actually saying it out loud, that's exactly what the problem was. Basically, what was happening was you have to keep the power plants around and running, and they are hugely expensive. And they're only affordable because of this huge, you know, wide distribution of tons of people putting in a little bit of money. And essentially, what was happening was it was getting to the point where there was enough solar power that was. They were getting paid for putting money into the network during the sunny periods, and then as soon as it's like nighttime, they're pulling power off of the power plant where they were not making any money. They weren't paying the power plants anything, and so essentially the power plant was saying at some point we don't make enough money anymore to keep our doors open, which will become a real big problem for you when the sun goes down. So let's figure out this deal. You know, like we've got to figure out there's a balancing act here. Well, the question, that's one obvious answer. But the thing is it's like everybody's got, you know, they're public utilities, you know. And so it's like if essentially we, you know, you pay a scaled in that mentality, you pay a scaled tax. Yeah. And so it's like, what are you supposed to do? So, you know, I don't know. That's an interesting conversation, not necessarily one that now that we're coming up on the third hour of the show, the fourth hour.
We started it at 9. We're good. Oh, the end of the beginning of the fourth. Yeah, I'm with
exactly.
You. I'm with you. And
I do have work in the morning.
Sucker.
I know. But you know, it's
okay. So solar was one of the tech trends that I think it'll continue to take off and continue to be a big, big thing. I will continue to wish that HP played a role in it, and they will continue to not, and that will continually make me sad. I still think home automation is something where we're going to see some super cool stuff. I don't see any washers or dryers per se. There was an article where GE actually created their own little mini accelerator for startups, and they showed off one of their, you know, latest innovations as a result of this accelerator, and it was a refrigerator. And people were like, you know, this blog was making fun of them because like, oh man, you went through all that effort and you got them all accelerated and you came up with, wait for it, a refrigerator.
Yeah.
And you're like, big deal. But, you know, it shows that companies like GE are like, hey, you know, there's this home automation thing and we're already doing light bulbs. Let's go after some of these appliances and, you know, can we start getting to make them talk? I don't know if they'll get it. I don't think they'll actually get it done this year. But I think we'll hear whisperings of it and see some concepts of it, and that'll be pretty darn cool. Hopefully, fingers crossed, I will get my Lockitron this year. I'm predicting that that will happen. I was supposed to get it in December, but apparently they had some sort of manufacturing snafu, and so they stopped shipping for a while, and I have no idea where I am in line. So,
I understand that.
There's that.
I think one of the things you're going to see is you're going to see more and more electric cars coming to the market. And,
that's what Jesse's prediction was.
Yeah, I think that's a big one. You're going to hear more announcements. You're going to see more of them. Because Tesla's proven that it's possible. And that's going to keep moving that direction. I think security and I think this year, if I'm not mistaken, there is on the docket some really, really interesting Supreme Court cases for, you know, what the government can do and how they can do it. And, you know, my personal opinion is this is where everybody realizes that I wear a tinfoil hat most days. But I think the NSA is a rogue agency that nobody really controls, and they're just horrifyingly terrifying. And so we're gonna try to, you know, scale them back as much as we can, but they don't really listen to anybody anyway. So good luck. But I do think that that's, like I said, I think that's actually going to have some real impact on companies that are selling servers and computers, because it's become abundantly clear that American hardware and software has back doors designed for the FBI and the CIA. And there are companies that we don't do business with because they're Chinese companies in particular that we don't do business with because they've got back doors that the Chinese government, you know, had installed, and we know it. And I think you're going to really see, like, you know, you're going to see an appreciable impact on the ability of companies to sell their cloud services abroad, American companies, because it's, you know, we spy on our citizens, we spy on everybody, and I think it's going to be a big problem, you know. And I think you're going to hear more and more and more about that in 2014. I think the only reason Snowden's not going to die a mysterious death is because it would be way too suspicious. I think at this point we're actively.
There's no reason for him to die, right? I mean, he's already leaked it all.
I think at this point we're actively trying to keep him alive because we think it would look that horrible if he, you know, fell down a staircase on accident, like for reals on accident. Like we got somebody there to catch him just in case, because. I don't know.
Okay, all right.
And then trying to think if I want to make any, you know, if there's anything really bold.
We're going to Mars. Yeah, no, we're not.
Not quite yet. But we are going to keep working on it.
No flying cars, unfortunately.
We're going to keep working on that one too, though. No breakthroughs in power, I don't think so. NIF's not going to do anything this year.
Another year of incremental, mind-blowing innovation.
I know. The future's amazing, and everybody's disappointed. Yeah.
Very true. Hey, awesome, man. I think it's time for us to call it quits.
Me too.
Because it's getting late.
Like last year, we could keep going, but nobody wants us to.
Yeah, I think we've worn our welcome. That's right. So, everybody, thanks for listening. We truly appreciate it. My name is James Furlow. My brother, what were you? What was I?
Phoenix Rising.
Ah, yes, yes. My Phoenix Rising brother is Matthew Furlow, and so we will talk next time, next year.
Yeah.
Thank you.